海紧缺人才培训工程教学系列丛书，英语高级口语资格证书考试，高级听力教程第二版，周国强、杨永平主编，由上海外语音像出版社录制出版。第九和
An Advanced Course of English Listening Second Edition。Passage 4.
What is it that you enjoy about driving a taxi, Chris?
Well, I mean, you do it for the money, obviously, like most jobs. But I suppose I enjoy being my own boss, you know, doing what I want to do. And you're very much in control of what you do. You decide what area you're going to go, when to have a break, stuff like that. One thing you have to be always thinking aboutis where you might pick up a passenger. Will the opera house be turning out? Do they have an afternoon performance? What time will the planes be coming in? I wonder if there are any trains arriving. You're always sort of scheming to make an extra bit of money. And the relationship between reward and effort is very immediate. You make the right decisions, you get a fare, and they pay you. You know, you don't have to wait till the end of the month.You meet
some people who aren't all that nice, but the vast majority of people are very nice. If you're pleased to talk to them, they're mostly pleased to talk to you. You get a feel for people who don't want to talk to you. Obviously, the first couple of one-word answers will tell you.
So you always start talking.
I always wish people good morning, or good afternoon, or whatever. How are you? Which gets things off to a good start.Because quite a few people have a general dislike of taxi drivers.
Do they?
Well, they do. I mean, the mere fact that they can't get a cab the minute they want one makes them annoyed, you know? And if the cab takes half an hour or so to come, you know, people are beside themselves. Why is it so, you know? Why didn't you come sooner, you know? But start them off well on a sunny day. People are pleasant.Happy. You meet some people who are famous.
Like?
Well, I took Louisa Wallace to the airport on Sunday, who's famous. Some soap operas. A big soap opera star in, what was it? Fathers and Sons. Oh, you must have seen it. She played Gertie for years. Oh, yes, yes. Famous. Well known. Then I took Brian Best, the sports commentator,to a football match a little while ago. He told me a few good jokes, I remember.
Have you ever made a friend of somebody you took in your cab?
No, no, I haven't actually. I suppose they're brief encounters that aren't really suitable to be extended. There are certain professional distances, I suppose. There's a line beyond which I don't feel that I want to go. I don't want to make friends of everybody in the world.I just happen to like having a little chat with them for a while. I suppose I was born to do that sort of thing. I'd have made a good shop assistant. I'd have made a lovely menswear assistant. Something like that. Very nice, charming, and friendly, but don't need to talk at any length.
16. What does Chris enjoy about driving a taxi?
17.What does he need to do as a taxi driver?
18. What does he find about most of his passengers?
19. According to Chris, when do some people get annoyed?
20. Why does he feel he is well suited to his job?
Part C.
The mid-20th century has brought three great and obvious changes to family life: contraception, personal mobility, and a concern for the equality of women. Along with these, and linking them, we have a value system which rejects the idea that anyone is superior to anyone else, and hence the rejection of established authority except that which arises within a self-conscious peer group. Old accepted patterns of behavior, including courtship and the ways by which men and women meet, have disappeared and have been replaced by nothing definable. At home, most parents do not restrict the movements of their children, in particular their daughters, as much as they used to. Girls expect to go to work when they finish their education, no matter at what age, between 16 and 23. They meet men at work, within their peer group, and through their friends. Some form stable relationships early, others have several relationships in succession. Most young people have sex before marriage. Most are successful in avoiding unwanted pregnancy at this stage. Some marry if pregnancy does occur. Increasing numbers of couples set up home without being married. For those who become pregnant and are unable or unwilling to marry, abortion has been available, subject to restrictions, since 1967. The restrictions are not very precise, and their meaning depends mainly on the interpretations of individual medical practitioners. Even so, the number of legal abortions carried out in any year has not exceeded 160,000. The main effect of the easing of the law has been to reduce enormously the incidence of bad effects on the health of women. A large proportion of abortions are performed on married women who already have several children. In one way, the new acceptance of extramarital sexual activity has been hard for women. It is easier for men to avoid responsibility, and in a world where people are encouraged to think that they have a right to whatever they want, some women suffer from being treated without the personal respect which older values expected men to show. Most women who marry continue to go out to work until they have children, and few have more than two children. The birth rate declined in 1965 to 1977, as in most other countries, and in 1997 was around the European Union average at 13 per 1,000 population. Most women with very small children stay at home to look after them unless they can make other arrangements. Few married couples live near to their own parents, and grandparents are likely to go out to work themselves. There are not enough places in nursery schools to provide for all the mothers who would like to go to work, but a few workplaces provide creches, and children can be left with private childminders registered with the local authorities. Parents have become more indulgent to their children in every way, giving them more presents and money, and not exercising much discipline. There is so much variety that generalization is unwise, but serious misbehavior, including vandalism, by young children, increased 10 times over in 20 years, and is often blamed on weak parental control. The problem families are well known to the huge army of social service workers. In well-adjusted families, modern life gives scope for more collective family activity, which is helped by owning a car and garden. Improved housing has made family life more private, and with privacy has gone a decline in the informal social control of neighbors' opinions. While the nuclear family of parents and children has grown closer together, the extended family has become weaker. Young people, when they marry, tend to live well away from their parents and other relations, often in different towns, and many people in non-manual careers move from one town to another at intervals of 5, 10, or 15 years, so that many children hardly know their aunts, uncles, or cousins.
Part D. 1. Sentence translation. 1. If we look at the figures for Japan, the rise is considerable, from 97 million tons to almost 110 million tons.
2. Behind every great man runs the cliché, is a woman, though in these days of sexual equality, perhaps it should be behind every person is another person.
3. I'm going to speak to you about the rates of assault in the Nordic countries. I've chosen this particular crime as it's the one where our product could be most useful.
4. As you can see from the graph, production fell sharply in the European Union and the States, but rose in Japan during this period.
5. I'm going to talk about the road accident figures in the UK. The total number of accidents fluctuated quite a lot during the period from 1982 to 1998. 2. Passage translation.
1. When I finished education in 1984, I joined a textile company in the north as a salesman, and I worked there for about 2 years. However, as you know, the textile industry has gone through a bad time in Europe, and Britain isn't the only European country where markets have disappeared. In fact, I could see the sort of problem we were going to get from the Far Eastern markets very early on. So I left the textile company and joined a food processing company in 1989, again as a salesman. I worked exclusively in the dairy sector here. There were 6 of us. Then, in 1998, the head of that sales division left, and I was asked to take his place, which I did.
2. During the year, the sales of the French motor car companies fell considerably. For example, Renault's market share dropped to 11%, and there was a similar decline in Citroën's share of the market. On the other hand, Ford and the big German manufacturers did well, with Ford's share rising to over 12%. Other companies with an increase in market share included Volvo and some of the Japanese companies. Sample Test 5. Part A. News can be something the authorities want you to know, or something they would rather keep secret. An announcement of a government success, a denial of a failure, or a secret scandal that nobody really wants you to talk about. If the authorities want to tell the world some good news, they issue statements, communiques, and call press conferences. Or politicians make speeches. Local newspapers, radio, and television help to alert foreign correspondents to what is going on. And by making contacts with local officials, journalists can ask for more information or explanations to help them write their stories. Unless the correspondent is an eyewitness, it's rare to trust any single source. Officials have a policy to defend, and opposition politicians want to attack it. Rumor and gossip can also confuse the situation. So, you have to check information as much as possible, using common sense and experience as final checks to help establish just what's likely to be the truth, or close to it. Just getting the news is only half the job. A correspondent may be well informed, but his job is to inform other people, the public. So once the information is available, it has to be written in an interesting way, which is also easily understood. Particularly for radio, since, while a newspaper reader can turn back and reread a sentence or two, the radio listener has only one chance. This also means that only a limited number of facts can be contained in a sentence, that there should be an element of repetition, and vital information necessary to understand the latest development should be presented at the start of a report, in case the producer of a news program decides to shorten an item by cutting, for example, the last sentence or two. Finally, the style of presentation must match the subject matter. A cheerful voice might be perfect for a royal wedding, but it would be sadly out of place for a report of a plane crash. And this would also confuse and distract the listener, probably making it difficult to understand just what had happened and to whom. Part B. Passage 1.
Well, I'm sure all our listeners would love to be brought up to date on the latest in tiny televisions.
It's an expanding market, that's for sure, and they seem to be getting smaller every year.
Which countries are dominating the market?
At the moment, it's Japan, principally. In the spring of 1982, Sony introduced the Watchman.
Is that the Walkman?
No, the Watchman is a portable black and white TV set with a tiny screen and aerial.
How big is the whole thing?
Oh, I'd say about 35 centimeters by 12 centimeters.
and it weighs only a couple of kilograms.
Was it a success from the start?
Funnily enough, a Sony executive said that no one would want to watch a TV while walking around. And also, a slightly larger model could be bought for half the price.
Really?
But, despite this pessimistic view, sales of this model far outnumbered projections.
Well, you can never tell. How big was the initial production?
The company started with 2,000 units per month, and increased to 5,000 by the end of 1982. But they still couldn't keep up with the demand.
So I suppose they upped the production levels even higher.
It was much more radical than that. In the spring of 1983, Sony pulled out all the stops and launched the Watchman all over again with a new model.
Oh, what's it like?
Well, it's 20% smaller, and the price is 25% less.
Hmm.
And the components were designed from scratch.
And what about production levels?
They quadrupled to 20,000 units a month, just for the Japanese market.
Wow, the Watchman certainly seems to have taken off.
Indeed it has.
And I believe there were other Japanese companies as well.
Yes. At the end of 1982, Hattori, that's H-A-T-T-O-R-I, you know, the makers of Seiko watches, well, they unveiled an even smaller TV, around 3 centimeters. Which is built into a wristwatch.
Incredible.
It certainly is. The rest of the set is carried separately in your pocket, and it's about the size of a packet of king-size cigarettes.
And how does it work?
It has a liquid crystal display screen. The TV receiver and battery pack fit into your pocket, and they're connected by a cord to the watch.
Is there a headphone?
Oh, yes. That's plugged into the receiver as well.
Seems a bit complicated, that one. With all the wires and bits and pieces.
Yes, it does.
Any other Japanese models?
Yes, Casio. That's C-A-S-I-O. Their latest is a calculator-sized TV about one-third the bulk of the Watchman, and with 1983 production figures of 2,000 units a month.
I see.
And, according to a spokesman, they hope to match their calculator sales, which are about 25 million units per year.
Very impressive, and no doubt other Japanese companies will jump on the bandwagon.
Most likely.
Now, could you tell us about other countries making these tiny TVs?
Of course. From Sinclair in England, there's one similar in size to the Casio, and their production levels were 1 million for 1993.
Obviously, they're planning on backing a winner.
How right you are. A representative said they expect a mass market response, not just as a novelty item.
And just which market are the manufacturers aiming at?
Mainly the commuters who spend hours going to and from work. These tiny TVs will provide relief from the monotonous train and bus rides.
Well, thank you for keeping us in touch with this extremely popular gadget.
My pleasure, and happy viewing to all you with those wee TVs.
1. What is being discussed in the talk?
2. When was this product recommended to the public?
3. Which of the following companies first introduced this product?
4. Which group of people are most likely to form the main market for this product?
5. According to the talk, which of the following is true about its market?
Passage 2. How many different countries do you think you've been to?
Once I made a count of how many countries I'd hitchhiked through, and it came to 28. So if you add on a few more for those where I haven't hitched, I imagine it comes to about 40 by now.
About 40? And are there any of these that you feel you really would like to go back to?
2 that I could actually live in, I think. One would be the west coast of Canada, because I think that had everything to offer. It was rich culturally. It was very bright. It had a very pleasant climate, slightly improved on Britain. It had the Rocky Mountains behind, loads of coastline, a lot going on both day and night, a large university, and it was just near America if you felt like crossing the border. The other place I like, but more for a holiday, was Sardinia, which I found was one of the quietest, most unspoiled parts of Europe that I've seen.
What is it about traveling that makes you want to keep doing it?
I think it's the one time when I feel completely alive every minute of the day. I also feel I have a tremendous amount of experience to bring back every time I've traveled. There's so much to share with other people. I feel I've got sort of 200% me to give once I come back. But when I'm actually doing it, you're free from all the bounds of routine. You're free from the assumptions people make about you. You're free from the inhibitions that cause you not to fully be yourself and enjoy yourself because of what people might think and so on.
But it can also be a little bit dangerous at times, too, can't it?
It can certainly be dangerous if you're doing it alone. I avoid traveling alone whenever I can. I mostly go with people I know very well, and this is part of the travel, discovering the person you're traveling with and discovering the differences in taste and the similarities in taste. But the most dangerous situation I found myself in was merely being nice here in Devon. But apart from that, I was on a train in Hungary where there was a murder in the loo, and we were kept for 2 hours while they investigated why somebody had been stabbed in the loo. I've also slept, voluntarily, in a prison in Norway and another prison in Germany. And in one of them, we were locked in and heard the other prisoners shouting and banging on the doors, and that felt quite frightening. I managed to get right into the center of the Middle East war through no choice of my own. They wouldn't let us out of the plane, and we were caught throughout the whole war in the country and couldn't get around at all. That felt as if you were living on a knife edge. We were lying there contemplating quite coolly whether, if there was an air raid, we should actually go into the shelter or allow ourselves to be killed on the spot. And there are certainly risks, and I think more so when you do travel alone, so I try to avoid it.
6. How many countries has the woman been to?
7. Which place does the woman seem to like most?
8. Considering that traveling can be dangerous at times, what does the woman do?
9. Which of the following is true about the woman?
10. Why does the woman want to keep traveling? Passage 3. Here is a summary of the news. No general election yet, says the Prime Minister. 5 people die in an earthquake in central Italy, and 1/4 million pounds is stolen from a security van. In a speech in the City of London last night, the Prime Minister announced that there will be no general election in the near future. Talk of a quick election was pure speculation, she said. A general election would be held when it was in the best interests of the nation to do so. In central Italy, several small towns and villages are still cut off by avalanches following the earthquake during the night, which killed 5 people. It was central Italy's strongest earthquake for several years, and hundreds of people have been made homeless. In Rome, as well as in Florence, Naples, and Perugia, gas pipes were broken, windows shattered, and electric cables thrown onto the streets. Thieves got away with almost 1/4 million pounds after a security van was ambushed in central London early this morning. The security van was rammed by a lorry as it was taking a shortcut through a narrow street off Piccadilly. 3 masked men then threatened the driver and his assistant with shotguns and forced one of them to unlock the van. The thieves made their escape in a car parked nearby. This car was later found abandoned in South London. The driver of the van and his assistant were badly shaken, but not seriously hurt. Hospital waiting lists in the southwest of England have gone up by a quarter in the last 5 years. While the number of doctors, nurses, and other staff have increased, the demand on the service has grown even faster.
11. What does the Prime Minister say about the general election?
12. What happened in central Italy?
13. Where did the raid on the security van take place?
14, about how much money was stolen from the security van.
15. Which of the following statements is true about the hospitals in the southwest of England?
Passage 4.
The figures for burglaries have risen alarmingly over the last few years and are now quite appalling. Let me quote you a few statistics about break-ins. A house is burgled in Britain now about every 2 minutes. And over the past 3 years, the number of burglaries reported to the police has risen by approximately 50,000 to well over 400,000 this year. The insurance companies report that last year alone, household burglary losses rose by 27% over the previous year to £138.2 million, and I believe one or two companies are refusing to provide burglary cover in what we might call high-risk areas. There are, nevertheless, half a dozen measures which can be taken against burglaries, which I will briefly outline for you. It really only requires some basic common sense and a small outlay, combined with a little knowledge of the way a burglar thinks and operates. You have to put yourself in his position, really. Most burglars are opportunists looking for an easy break-in, so don't make things simple for them. Don't advertise the fact that you're out or away, or be careless about security. Even if you're just popping out for a quarter of an hour, don't leave doors and windows open or unlocked. A burglary can take less than 10 minutes. This time element leads me to my second main point, that where a house is hard to get into and will take a long time to do, so because you've fitted good locks and bolts on your exterior doors and windows, or even burglar alarms, the chances are that the burglar will move on to somewhere easier. Don't advertise the fact that you're not at home. There are plenty of these lapses, I can assure you. Milk bottles left on the doorstep, papers by the front door, garage doors wide open, curtains drawn in the daytime or undrawn at night are all indications. For comparatively little, you can buy a programmed time switch that'll turn off and on a light at appropriate times. Not all burglaries happen while you're out, of course. You should always be wary of callers at the door who say, for example, that they've come to read the gas meter. Always check their credentials, and if in doubt, don't let them in. It's also a good idea to keep a record of serial numbers on electrical equipment, radios, TVs, and so on, or even to take photographs of valuable jewelry, antiques, or pictures.
16. How many burglaries have been reported this year?
17. How does the insurance industry react to the rise in the number of burglaries?
18. Which of the following is not mentioned as a measure against burglaries?
19. Which of the following statements is true according to the passage?
20. What might be the best title for this passage? Part C. Over the last 50 years, housework has been made considerably easier by the invention of an increasing number of labor-saving devices and appliances, mostly electrical, which have drastically cut down the amount of time and effort previously needed to do the everyday household chores. For many years now, there have been vacuum cleaners, electric irons, washing machines, and floor polishers. Now we have electric potato peelers and even electric carving knives. We can buy cookers that will switch themselves on and produce a meal that is ready to eat the minute we get back home. If we have one of these electric pop-up toasters, we can make toast at the breakfast table itself. Mashed potatoes can be quickly and effortlessly made with a mixer, which usually has a variety of attachments that enable you to make all sorts of other more exotic things, like fresh orange juice or real mayonnaise. And a tumble dryer can save you from the frustration of hanging out the washing, only to have to bring it in again 10 minutes later when menacing storm clouds loom over. Probably the most important piece of electrical equipment to become widely used in the last 20 years is the dishwasher. Washing up by hand is not only a time-consuming task, but also an extremely boring one, particularly when you are on your own, and it also ruins your hands. Dishwashers come in a range of different sizes and models to suit your purpose, the size of your family, and the layout of your kitchen. They can be stood on the floor or on a worktop, or they can be mounted on a wall, and their capacity ranges from 6 to 12 place settings. If you buy one, it is worth having it plumbed into the mains water supply to save you having to connect rubber pipes to your taps each time you use it. All you have to do is load the dirty dishes, glasses, and cutlery into the racks inside the machine. Pour in some special detergent powder, close the door, and switch it on. It does the rest by itself while you get on and do more interesting things. Of course, most dishwashers can't accommodate large saucepans and frying pans, and you do have to scrape all scraps of solid food from the dishes before you put them in to avoid blocking the filters. But the machine will wash almost everything else and get rid of even the most stubborn egg and lipstick stains. When the washing cycle is over, the machine dries the plates and glasses with its own heat, and indeed, they can be left inside until they are needed for the next meal. If you buy a medium-sized dishwasher, you probably won't need to wash up more than once a day. The drawback of this, of course, is that you have to have enough dishes, cutlery, etc. to last 3 or 4 meals. So it can happen that people who buy a dishwasher have to buy new china and glasses, either because they haven't got enough or because the ones they've got don't fit the machine. This extra expense may not only be necessary, but also desirable, for one has to remember that dishwashers can be quite noisy. This means that many people prefer only to use their machine once a day, preferably last thing at night, when you can just shut the kitchen door on it and go to bed. Part D. 1. Sentence Translation.
1. The government has failed to avert a national bus strike, and the bus drivers' union has announced that no buses will run from next Monday.
2. The balance of power is keeping us out of any real danger of war. I mean, as things are at the moment, neither side would really dare to start a war because of the consequences.
3. I see so many well-known people appearing in commercials, seeming just to make a lot of money and pretending to believe in the product they're advertising. It upsets me.
4. A friend took me to a Japanese restaurant to celebrate his birthday, and we had all this raw fish and stuff. I didn't like it at all, to be honest.
5. Police in Manchester have been continuing their search for the murderer of a 71-year-old woman who was found beaten to death in the kitchen of her home 2 days ago.
2. Passage Translation.
1. In 1990, I moved across to marketing. This was a big step for me. I was sent to Michigan for a year and then worked out in Singapore with our Far East headquarters until 1993. I was in charge there of market planning for the Far East. Good years they were. In 1993, I came back and became Assistant Marketing Director, UK. My director superior retired in 1995, and I took his place. Now in the late 1990s, I am looking towards actively developing our food processing activities in Eastern Europe and Russia. The problems they now face there in food distribution create a good market opportunity for us. It is this kind of strategic planning which is now my major contribution to the company.
2. There is a great range in the number of doctors per 100,000 inhabitants in various parts of the world, as we can see from the chart. It is surprising that the figure for Italy should be a great deal higher than for the United Kingdom, but that is the case. In Italy, the figure is around 400, while in the United Kingdom, it is only a little over 160 doctors per 100,000 inhabitants. Both Spain and Belgium have considerably higher figures than the United Kingdom, slightly over 350 in Spain and about 310 in Belgium. Sample Test 6. Part A.
Business people spend a lot of time in meetings, and meetings come in all shapes and sizes, ranging from formal committee meetings to informal one-to-one meetings. There are several reasons why meetings are held. Reaching decisions in a meeting means that all the participants can feel more committed to the decision. More information is available, and different ideas can be contributed. Meetings can lead to more imaginative and informed decisions, often more courageous decisions than one person might feel brave enough to make. But meetings also have drawbacks. More time is required, there's more talk, sometimes irrelevant and repetitive, and more group pressure. The more people there are at a meeting, the longer it may take to reach a decision. There seem to be ideal sizes for meetings, depending on the purpose. A meeting where information is being given to people can be quite large, as questions from the floor may be asked by a few individuals on everyone else's behalf. The way a committee meeting operates often depends on the style of its leader or chairperson. He or she may control the proceedings or let everyone speak whenever they want. An effective chairperson should be flexible. In some meetings, the members have to take a vote before a decision can be made. Formal proposals or motions may have to be tabled, seconded, and discussed before a vote can be taken. Other meetings may require a consensus of members. Everyone has to agree. Most meetings have an agenda. For a formal meeting, this document may be circulated in advance to all participants. For an informal meeting, the agenda may simply be a list of points that have to be dealt with. The purpose of an agenda is to speed up the meeting and keep everyone to the point. The agenda for a formal meeting must be organized in logical order. Often, the agenda shows not only the topics, but also the meeting's function regarding each topic. All items on which a decision is to be taken should appear on the agenda. One-to-one or small informal meetings also tend to be structured and planned. They are different from chance conversations in a corridor or over coffee. Small informal meetings may also take place or continue during a meal.
Part B, Passage 1. Mary, you know, I've been thinking about applying for a job in Germany. Well, I've got the details about different jobs, and I'd like your opinion about which would be the best one to go for.
Where are the jobs?
One's in Munich, one's in Frankfurt, and the other one's in Hamburg.
Munich's supposed to be a very nice place.
Yes, it is. And it's also in a beautiful part of Germany, not far from the Alps.
That would be great for the kids. They'd love to be able to go skiing on weekends.
But one problem with Munich is that it's growing very fast. That means the cost of living will probably be very high.
How does the salary at the job in Munich compare with the other jobs?
It's a higher salary than the job in Frankfurt, but lower than the one in Hamburg. The Hamburg job has the most responsibility. From the point of view of career progression, that would probably be the best job for me.
Hamburg is the closest to Britain, too, so it would be easy to come back for long weekends and holidays.
That's right. And there's a regular ferry service, which would save quite a bit on fares.
What about the cost of living in Germany as a whole? How does it compare with Britain?
Well, it's definitely higher than over here, but salaries are substantially higher, so we'd certainly be better off than we are now.
And what about accommodation?
Well, actually, flats are much cheaper to rent in towns like Munich, Frankfurt, and Hamburg than they are here in London. So we'd be able to afford to live in a nice, spacious flat, I'd think.
That'd be nice. And do you know what the cultural facilities are like in these cities?
In fact, they're quite good in all three. But of course, Munich has an international reputation as a cultural center.
Another thing we'll have to consider, of course, are the educational possibilities. How long would you want to go to Germany for?
I think a maximum of 5 years. I think working overseas will be good for my career, and, of course, it'd be a good experience for you and the kids, too.
So we'd be there long enough to enable John to complete a university course?
Well, yes, we would. Unless, of course, he preferred to go to a university in the UK. But yes, if he did want to go to a university in Germany, there'd be no problem, as each of those cities have their own universities. Munich, in fact, has the second largest university in Germany.
Well, it seems to me the choice must be between Hamburg and Munich. Hamburg has the advantage of being the closest to Britain, so coming home would be relatively easy and inexpensive. Munich, on the other hand, sounds like the most interesting place from a cultural point of view.
I agree with you. Personally, I favor Munich, because it's so near to the Alps. We all like skiing, and we could go skiing at weekends in the winter.
I think you're right. I had thought Hamburg might be preferable because it's the closest to Britain, but we'll only be abroad for 5 years, and if we're going to be away, let's choose the most attractive place we can.
Right. That's agreed. Now all I have to do is get the job.
1. What is the main topic between the man and the woman?
2. Which of the following cities is not mentioned in the conversation?
3. How does the salary of the Munich job compare with those of the other two jobs?
4. How long does the man intend to stay in Germany?
5. Which of the following statements is true according to the conversation?
Passage 2. 8 o'clock. Here is the news read by Andrew Viney. Good evening. First, the international news headlines. Fighting has continued all day in Timor, and there have been heavy casualties. In the United States, the president has said the Star Wars project will not go ahead if there is a new arms agreement with Russia. In Brussels, the European Union countries have agreed after 10 months of discussion on a new agricultural policy. And now, for the national news. The rail strike continues. Negotiations between the Rail Workers Union and the railway management broke down today once again, with the management offering an 8% pay rise and the union still insisting on the full 12% they initially demanded. Negotiations will, however, resume tomorrow. The latest inflation and unemployment figures were issued today. The current inflation rate is 7.5%. That's 1% up on last month. This rate is still lower than most member states of the European Union, but higher than the United States. Unemployment figures have also risen, 14% compared with 13% last month. This rise is due particularly to the high numbers of school leavers coming on to the job market at present. The Prime Minister today visited Felixstowe, where he opened a new car factory. After wishing the factory every success, he said the factory's new production patterns, which are based on robots, should provide a model to all new industry. The long and unusual spell of hot weather is beginning to cause water supply problems. In parts of Yorkshire and Lancashire, water was cut for 6 hours today. Local water authorities, bombarded by protests and complaints, have said that they have taken emergency measures, which will ensure supply to hospitals and fire stations, and public pumps have been set up in all towns in the affected areas. And so, to tomorrow's weather. Not too good, I'm afraid. It will be cloudy and humid in all parts of the country, except the southwest, where there'll be sunny periods. And that's the end of the news.
6. What has the U.S. President said about the Star Wars project?
7. According to the news, which of the following countries has the lowest inflation rate?
8. What percent pay rise does the Rail Workers Union demand?
9. What did the Prime Minister do when he visited Felixstowe?
10. What is beginning to cause the water supply problems in parts of the country?
Passage 3. How did you become a hypnotist?
Well, I've been teaching exercises for a long time. In fact, when I was at college, I was going to be an infant teacher, and I wanted, you know, eventually to be a child psychologist. But once I started, I didn't find it actually terribly enjoyable. So I just left, and I went into the exercise profession almost by mistake. And I'd been doing that for about 4 years, and it was very nice. But mentally, it wasn't stimulating enough, and I wanted to do something else.
Do you mean by the exercise profession, aerobics and weight training?
Yeah, I was teaching all kinds of things. Yoga, aerobics, but I'd gone to America by then, but I wanted to do something else because mentally, it just wasn't stimulating enough. And I was very aware, especially in America, that, like, 1 in every 8 girls has a really serious eating problem, like bulimia, anorexia, which does kill a lot of people, and it does make people actually go mentally deficient, too, in the end, because it's so damaging. And I was very aware of how serious a problem it was, but I wasn't going to do anything about it, and in fact, I had a minor eating problem, but finally I went to see a hypnotist, just almost by mistake, actually, and I wasn't particularly impressed with what he did, but I was surprised to find that it was working, and so I was practicing it on myself, and I went back to see him about 2 weeks later, and I said, you know, I've been doing this myself. And he said, well, show me what you've been doing. So I did. And he said that, you know, I was very good at it and I should utilize it. And I really didn't need to come back to him. And also, I'd always been late. I'd been late all my life. I just could not stop being late. And so I worked on that. And that stopped. It just stopped overnight. It was almost uncanny. So then, I was so interested that I went off on a self-hypnosis course, really just to learn how to do it for myself. And while I was on this course, I just thought, you know, I'm going to do this as a career, because I suddenly realized that I could work with all these people in my classes that were anorexic, bulimic, or had very, very low self-images, and I could still teach.
11. How did the woman being interviewed become a hypnotist?
12. What did the woman want to become eventually when she was at college?
13. Why did the woman give up the exercise profession?
14. Why did the woman go to see the hypnotist at first?
15. According to the woman, which type of people attended the self-hypnosis course? Passage 4. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for attending this investment analysts meeting. As you may have heard, we are planning a big expansion of our company. To give all the analysts present the background to our present strong position, I would like to outline the company's performance over the past years. If you will look at this graph of our gross turnover, you will see that at the end of our first year, that is 1992, we had a gross turnover of $3 million. This figure was better than our expectations and shows that our home security system did find a gap in the market. This was confirmed by the doubling of our gross turnover in 1993. We also think this rapid rise in sales was helped by our extensive advertising campaign. As the graph indicates, 1993 showed a slight decline in gross turnover of $5 million. This was due to the fact that by this time, competitors, seeing our success, had produced rivals to our model. This led to some loss of sales. To meet this increased competition in 1994, we introduced an incentive scheme for our dealers, plus very favorable credit terms for our customers. As a result, we stopped any further reduction in sales and, in fact, we managed to increase our turnover to $5,600,000. The year 1995 saw the introduction of our updated product with a number of new features. This led to a steady rise in sales throughout the year. The gross turnover figure at the end of 1995 is slightly different from that of the previous years, for it included two figures. One, the total of sales of the new model. This amounted to $5.5 million. The second part of the total for 1995 represents purchase of the new features alone, for we had designed these so they could be added to the old model of our security system. This figure is about $1,100,000. Together, therefore, these two sums represent a total turnover of $6,600,000. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the situation as it stands today. However, I can add that the sales figures for the first part of this year are very encouraging, and we have high hopes for the second part of this year.
16. Whom is the man addressing?
17. What is the main topic of the speech?
18. What products or service does the company sell?
19. What caused the slight decline in gross turnover for the year 1993?
20. What is the gross turnover for the year 1995?
Part C.
Today I'd like to talk about love between child and parent. For most children before the age from 8.5 to 10, the problem is almost exclusively that of being loved, of being loved for what one is. The child up to this age does not yet love. He responds gratefully and joyfully to being loved. At this point of the child's development, a new factor enters the picture, that of producing love by one's own activity. For the first time, the child thinks of giving something to mother or to father. For the first time in the child's life, the idea of love is changed from being loved into loving, into creating love. It takes many years from this first beginning to the maturing of love. Eventually, the child may now be an adolescent and has overcome his egocentricity. The other person is not anymore primarily a means to the satisfaction of his own needs. The needs of the other person are as important as his own. In fact, they have become more important. To give has become more satisfactory and more joyous than to receive. To love has become more important even than being loved. Closely related to development of the capacity of love is the development of the object of love. The first months and years of the child are those where his closest attachment is to his mother. This attachment begins before the moment of birth, when mother and child are still one, although they are two. Although the child is now living outside of the womb, he is still completely dependent on mother. But he becomes more independent day by day. He learns to walk, to talk, and to explore the world on his own. the relationship to mother loses some of its vital significance, and instead the relationship to father becomes more and more important. In order to understand the shift from mother to father, we must consider the essential differences in quality between motherly and fatherly love. We have already spoken about motherly love. Motherly love, by its very nature, is unconditional. Mother loves the newborn infant because it is her child, not because the child has fulfilled any specific condition or lived up to any specific expectation. The relationship to father is quite different. Mother is the home we come from. She is nature, soil, the ocean. Father does not represent any such natural home. He has little connection with the child in the first years of its life, and his importance for the child in this period cannot be compared with that of the mother. But while father does not represent the natural world, he represents the other pole of human existence. He represents the world of thought, of law and order, of discipline, and of travel and adventure. Father is the one who teaches the child, who shows him the road into the world. Closely related to this function is one which is connected with socioeconomic development. When private property came into existence, and when private property could be inherited by one of the sons, father began to look for that son to whom he could leave his property. Naturally, that was the one whom father thought best fitted to become his successor, the son who was most like him, and consequently, whom he likes the most. Fatherly love is conditional love. Its principle is, I love you because you fulfill my expectations, because you do your duty, because you are like me. In conditional fatherly love, we find a negative and a positive aspect. The negative aspect is the very fact that fatherly love has to be deserved, that it can be lost if one does not do what is expected. In the nature of fatherly love lies the fact that obedience becomes the main virtue, that disobedience is the main sin, and its punishment is the withdrawal of fatherly love.
Part D. 1. Sentence translation. 1. A further drop in sales was sustained over the following months, but after that, the situation picked up, and the sales increased quite sharply.
2. We are the British subsidiary of an Italian company, and we're thinking of developing some new lines for Britain, drinks for the British market.
3. There are so many different approaches to art teaching, but I think that the main thing is to encourage the imagination of each child and allow them to express themselves as freely as possible.
4. The government is under intense pressure from the main opposition parties to take urgent action following the third serious road accident in less than a month on the outskirts of the capital.
5. I don't really know what qualifications are needed for the job, but I think obviously a degree in modern languages or political science or economics would be very useful. 2. Passage translation.
1. Compared to Japan and the European countries, the United States is well ahead when it comes to the number of cars per 100 inhabitants. The figure there is 60 for every 100 inhabitants, whereas in Japan it is only 29. The United Kingdom, despite its position as an industrial manufacturing country, also has a rather low figure of 41 cars for every 100 inhabitants.
2. Although both Switzerland and the United Kingdom show strong similarities in the numbers of respondents who wish to try the Flexitime program in the next 5 years or enlarge the program, in the UK, the 45.6% figure for those who have tried Flexitime is considerably lower than Switzerland's 68.5%, and indeed lower than all the other countries in the chart. Likewise, when looking at percentages of respondents who had not tried or had no plans to try Flexitime, one finds a similar correlation. Most significant of all, perhaps, is the enormous 14% of all UK companies
who have dropped the program or will drop it. This is the end of the tape.
Bye.